Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're in the realm of the five koshas and rebirthing work, and we are in the first rounds. So, as we work with transforming anger into its true essence around movement, momentum, I'm wondering what it might be like to turn your attention inward, noticing any particular layers of that seem to be present for you. And for those of you that have already messaged intentions or stated them in the chat feature, see how that reconciles with our theme for the week, transforming anger into movement and momentum. I mentioned at the beginning of our session a couple weeks ago that I'd be dropping in just a little bit of theory, and it ended with the question of the vagus nerve. Our last session, so I just wanted to give that a little bit more time and attention because it'll definitely be something that we turn our attention to throughout this year, and we did a little bit last year. And I teach a lot about it in fundamentals integration, but it's the only spot where that's really covered. And it's not a classical part of a body talk in its true configuration, in terms of when John created it, polyvagal theory wasn't around. So Stephen Porges and Daniel Siegel have alike been the two big voices in the fields of polyvagal theory. And essentially, they've noticed that the vagus nerve has more than one input to it. It actually has two streams. One runs more anteriorly or ventral, and one runs more dorsal or posterior. So they're classically referred to as dorsal and ventral, and they have different jobs. So the dorsal part of our vagus nerve, and this is just one of the two components of it, is the part of us that tends to get shut down or hits that point of, I've tried and nothing's working, so I'm just going to stop. Why bother? It enters what's classically referred to as freeze mode, helps us to cope or deal with life by means of literally just tuning out to what's happening and making our way through it. So, for instance, it may have realized that in the environment that was surrounding it, like in early childhood, it couldn't necessarily fight back or run away, but it had to tolerate what was there. And because that angst, the energy of being in constant fight or flight, for everything all the time was too much, the hypoarousal of the dorsal vagal portion of the nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system that is, begins to come online to save energy from being in fight and flight mode and doing your best to support survival. It can look like we're relaxed, but we're actually just tuned out, shut down, numbed out, and the face can become a little bit like that. It's not animated, it's lost its, capacity to express. It's dull in feature. Okay? The eyes can go a little bit dull with that. When the nervous system is more in a ventral vagal portion, which is the opposite side in that vagus nerve, still a part of that parasympathetic nervous system, we're actually in a state of true relaxation. And we're still alive, we're animated, we're calm, we're compassionate, we're connected to things that bring us pleasure, and we're connected to being here in presence. We're open to playfulness, we're open to social engagement, and being really curious about life. So there's these two branches that both look like they carry a tone of relaxation. However, one is more to shutdown mode, freeze mode, hypoarousal mode, lots of names for it. That's that dorsal part. And the ventral part is the part that says, like, yes, I'm here and I'm ready to be with y'all. Okay? So as we tune into our next week, I'll drop in a little bit more theory about something else related to more of the five koshas, but I didn't want to let that question around the vagus nerve go unexplored. It's quite relevant to all that we've been exploring over the last year and are heading into in this year. Okay, all done for theory for right now. So I invite you to turn your attention to your breath. Turning your attention to your breath. And as you breathe here, every inhale becomes an opportunity to call in to receive, to drink in life, every exhale an opportunity to release. Let go, to make space, and every breath becomes an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, keep it neutral, taking time to savor it, to be with it, to turn towards it in a way that lets you appreciate all the finer nuances as you slow down to tend to it in that way. And then I'm going to invite you to do that on purpose. I'm going to invite you to locate either eyes open outward, or eyes either downcast or inward, looking inward. And let your whole set of senses go for a bit of a walk, either externally or internally, around your location that you find yourself in right now. I mean, the invitation here is to let them land on anything in particular that's pleasant to you, neutral to be with, pleasant to neutral to be with. And once they land upon that thing, appreciating all the elements that are particularly pleasant or simply neutral to be with. And as you continue to drink that in, noticing the body mind's response. And anything that's happening internally in connection to what you're noticing with your senses, I'm going to invite you to continue to savor, drink in anything that's pleasant, to the very least neutral, and to mindfully appreciate it. Yeah, just like that, just like that. As you do that, I'm gonna offer these words. Creator, spirit, universe, whatever we call this, thank you for the opportunity to gather here. And thank you to all of our compassionate helpers, both seen and unseen, that have gathered here with us today, guiding us, holding us safe, protecting us, and nourishing us. May we let ourselves be received by your presence and by the opportunity to be nourished. And thank you for the gift of every single person here and their sheer existence and being alive and gathering here in the ways that we have today. Thank you to all that's gone into that sweet opportunity to connect. Thank you to our families, our ancestors, our lineages, and all of those that have come before, and all of those yet to arrive. And the deepest of gratitude to those that have stewarded and caretaken these lands, that have supported the existence, the nourishment, and the survival of us all. Thank you for allowing us to literally be here, be alive. I'd appreciate what it is to be in connection to nourishment. I'm wondering what it might be like to, in this moment, Imagine that we can turn our attention towards the earth. Just offer her a little blessing. Like, thank you. If there's other words that are more elaborate, then feel free to extend those. Blessings in your session today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. So interestingly enough, we're starting off with cellular repair work, which helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health through the liver and the gallbladder complex. Now, the liver and the gallbladder complex process anger and actually help us to use it as fuel to create movement and momentum in our lives. The gallbladder in particular is helpful as catalyzing momentum to take new steps forward based on all of the organization, the plans that have been made with the liver as a part of that. And here we're working at the times where it's really felt like, all right, I've got a plan and this is what I'm going to do. And oh my gosh, it's been thwarted again and again. And then that repetition of having those times where your plans to be executed got thwarted or delayed or laid back or surprisingly arced into a whole new trajectory that you did not anticipate at all. And all those times where it landed as a particular frustration in your system are still really entangled in there. So we're going to loosen it up literally from the cells of the liver and the gallbladder. I'm going to run a Sidri here. It's going to continue for the next 8 days. Sidri is a multi-step formula. As I talk my way through it, I'm going to invite you to imagine that happening through the, again, entire liver and gallbladder complex, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all of the chakras, major and minor, as well as endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help the nervous system and the immune system alike to heal. Then also working with bringing in the balance of yin, the essence of the feminine, that which nourishes, as well as the yang, the masculine, its essence, protection, procreation, productivity, align. And as we work with the interfacing of yin and yang, finding the right balance, which dynamically evolves at any given moment. And also bringing in that flexibility, that dynamic responsivity. And then also, lastly, bringing in hydration, helping the cells take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D4 defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking the clutter that doesn't need to be here or remains gets to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection shift, the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as that runs for the next 8 days, also working with the amygdala complex, which is a part of our limbic emotional brain that makes choices, decides how to move forward in life. And we're looking in particular at how it tends to overreact versus respond to life by filtering all information through the lens of any particular fear or anger or rage that's present. I think of rage as a combo of anger and fear to a degree. And here, we need to do an emotional release from the amygdala complex itself, which is, by the way, very connected to our gallbladder meridian. And as we release the emotion of overwhelm through here, it's tied into that point in time where the soul was just beginning to enter into the creation of you. And it actually connects before you even have a physical form. There's actually a mental body that has a stronger essence or layer to it, and then an emotional body that distills ultimately into the physical connection. And this doesn't necessarily align with what we understand to happen in biological conception as distinctly, but working with the energetic understanding that as the soul meets the mental consciousness, that realm of your mental body, there is a sense of rage, a sense of, a sense of not again, a sense of, didn't we do this last time? A sense of, I don't know how to do this any differently than how I've always done it before, and I am tired of getting the same old result. I want something different this time. So here we're bringing in circulation of lymph to clean out any toxins, gunk, waste, and overthinking, overanalyzing that are keeping this layer of the soul to the mental body interface relatively rigid or stuck in these ways. As we begin to clean house through here, excuse me as I readjust my seat there. As we begin to clean house through there, we're actually going to utilize the anger in a good way to help literally create a clean slate here. So it doesn't have to come with the preconceptions that or the expectations that are here. We're actually going to use the anger to literally move out the trapped energy that is stuck thinking that the old has to repeat itself again, or the energy that the old is doomed to repeat itself again and again and again. This is defined by the consciousness of samsara, which is a very big concept that we could talk about for a lifetime. And it's actually considered to be the pathway of suffering, meaning we're stuck on the loop of this cyclical nature of life repeating itself again. In one very quick synopsis of it, knowing that there's a lot of other nuances we can explore there literally for years and years and years to come. So as I give it one quickie one-liner of a definition, knowing that the body mind in essence is feeling relatively stuck or trapped in cycles and loops. And we actually are going to go to the essence of the navel, which I think of as the bridge point between the body and the connection to life via the vine that is the umbilical cord, and into our connection to the divine consciousness that was formed, and well, that actually has no form, but comes into form through this whole creation of the soul meeting human body, mental, emotional, and physical forms. So in that point, we're running the permissions, and the words here are simply that connection is safe. Connection is safe. And then it's showing me the essence and the image of something like half done, meaning something that's only partially there, and there being in that sense of incompletion, not the full awareness of what connection actually is, because there isn't a connection happening with ease from the level of spirit through to body. And that's where the tumultuousness is coming from, that the amygdala complex is picking up on. So it's reacting to life around it like it's a bit of a threat and like it requires protection. So here we're going to run one more sea tree. It's also running, oh, I lied. And it's not running for 8 days, it's running for 6 days. And as we work with it, supporting the body in replacing the essence of the fearful protection with that of honoring. So, what is it to honor ourselves versus fear ourselves? What is it to honor life versus coming at it from an angle of I have to manage it or protect it yet again? So underneath an umbrella, we're going to do a whole body talk session. Okay, starting with cellular repair on the eyes, the classic two eyes, not the third eye, to be able to actually repair these cells back to their fullest potential of health around what it is to perceive. And right now it's perceiving through a little bit of clutter. So we're just helping it to know that it actually can see something different other than the clutter or the confusion or seeing life through this lens of terminal suffering or seeing life as terminal suffering alike. And so at Sidri runs for the next 6 days, we're bringing in the planetary energy of the sun and we're connecting it, interestingly enough, to the mouth. So sun carries the essence of our fullest expression of our life force potential in each individual. As we connect it to the mouth is connected to the spleen and being able to take in nourishment and to literally help you to, with that nourishment through the mouth, to devour anything that's in your way that isn't allowing the fullest expression of your life force potential. And it's all defined by the consciousness of expression of your gifts, expression of the essence of your gifts. Meaning, it's not so relevant what you do. We often get stuck there as we think we need to have a purpose, and that purpose has to be connected to what we do. It's actually more so connected to how we do whatever it is we're doing. And can that come from a place of honoring how it is you're wired in your gifts. So how can we express our essence of whatever your gifts might be? You know, for myself, it's the intuitive, it's the psychic, it's at excuse me, at times prophetic expression. At times, well, you get the point. Noticing where your gifts are. And they're actually going to connect the eyes as well to help you to locate that, because there might be some gifts that you haven't actually quite explored. And here we're running lymphatic circulation through the inner corner of the eyes that helps us to see the world clearly in the present moment. Helping you to clearly see the presence of your gifts, even when it feels like those are buried underneath a whole lot of samsara type of suffering. And we're linking that into balancing the upper and the lower spine. Connecting to your spine is like, pardon me, connecting into your antenna of consciousness. As we balance the upper and the lower spine, we're literally linking it through from the earth itself to the heavens above. Helping you to locate the gifts that are more on the grounded physical realm of the earth to that which is in alignment with the more ephemeral, the ethereal, the intangible realm. And we're running a circulation of blood, nerve, and lymph through the spine, bringing in blood that carries that passion again, nerve with our communication, and lymph that cleans out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, and running that all the way through the entire center of the spine and the central channel that runs here through the Sushumna itself. I'm still seeing that blood, nerve, lymph run repeatedly through the spine. It's not ready to quite move on yet. So I invite you to offer your spine 3, 4, 5 breaths to help that integrate that part. As we do that, connecting upper with lower vertebrae, topmost with bottommost, and working your way inwards until they meet at roughly the base of the heart in the back body there. Okay, this is a bit trippy. It's being defined by the consciousness of consciousness itself. And what that brings to mind for me, as has been said many times before in many different ways, that perhaps we are nothing more than the creator attempting to know itself through our creations. And as we create, we actually have an opportunity to express our gifts. As we work with this, defining it also with the essence of the core of what it means to embrace the creative realm. As we support the body mind in turning towards the realm of the creative. We're linking it through to a little body part that is often not talked enough about, in my opinion, which is that of the cervix. When we have issues with our cervix, it's often around blocked creativity. Our cervix, along with our reproductive system as a whole, is the epicenter of creation. As you turn your attention towards creation, honoring the cervix, honoring the entire reproductive system, I'm going to invite you to offer it another three, four, five breaths. And here we're doing a release of anger around all the times that you felt that your creations were again thwarted. Meaning you got so close, yet it didn't quite come together how you thought it could. And then we're balancing the sun through the. Keeps going back and forth. I'm just gonna give it. Oh, it's actually both. Okay. We're going to link the sun and the moon into both ovaries. The sun and the moon into both ovaries. Which is like the storehouse of our will. And as our will aligns with thy will, the will of creator, universe, spirit, God, the mystery, whatever our word is for that. The ovaries begin to enter in ways that aren't actually possible through our personal will alone. As we work with the willpower that is contained inherently within each ova, bringing in the energy again of the sun, which connects us to the fullest expression of our life force potential possible, and the moon, which creates deep nourishment, maternal love. And emotional security in a way that lets us be in the world without having to protect ourselves from it, but gets to honor our existence within it. And here, linking it through to the 12th house in astrology, which works with endings, releasing, allowing. We might think of this as, in a good way, the house of the individual becoming one with the wave of life. Or the death of the false self of who it is you think you are, and not allowing that to literally rest into peace. We're linking that through to the perineum, the space between either vagina or testes and anus, working with the two arguably most powerful acupuncture points that are in the entire body. Conception vessel one, governing vessel one. Conception vessel connecting us into the feminine essence, the governing that of the masculine. And we're working here with a concept of the original separation or the original distortion of life itself. Doing an emotional release of sadness or depression. That's actually inviting you to turn inwards. So, depression or sadness might have a better label, and the better label for that might actually be compression. Meaning we're underneath like that heavy blanket of sadness, that heavy blanket of depression, to create a compression, which is an invitation to turn inwards. And here, in that process of the invitation to turn inwards, there's, as sadness often does, it's traveling with a certain amount of rage, anger, and fear. This particular layer of anger and fear is around a sense of, like, I feel directionless. I have nothing to grasp onto. So, in order to find anything, I'm just going to create divide. And I'm going to create a sense of separation between me and the other, masculine, feminine, whatever that might be. And through this divide or fight to be separate, we actually end up perpetuating our own suffering, our own samsara that continues. Linking into the 10th house, house of recognition in particular, is what we're working with today. And helping the two sides, literally the two ovaries, the two conception governing feminine masculine energies, to begin to recognize that in their inherent difference, they actually share a commonality, that they're both alive. They're both animated by life itself. That they actually have a far more in common than they do different. They have far more in common than they might have ever thought or imagined. And here we need to unhook the belief system that resolution of suffering is a dead end. There's almost like a fear of death in this way. Like, if we actually resolve the suffering, then there's no point to actually have certain aspects of your psyche alive and well. And that in turn might mean that they're no longer needed or necessary and that they might die. So there's this act of perpetuation of it from the inside out. For that, we're actually running one more round of lymphatic circulation. And we're doing it for the spleen meridian that brings up nourishment from the earth and brings it up through the body mind, and in essence, delivering the message of you'll be taken care of. Just honor the human that you are, and you'll be taken care of. Honor the human expression of your gifts as you are, and you get to be taken care of by something that's bigger than you. By something that's bigger than what you ever imagined it to be, or different than ever you imagined it to be, and something that goes beyond any conceptual framework for it, connecting it to the essence of the eternal, the all, the spirit. Defined by the consciousness of embracing human. The HU roughly translates to God. Human literally means to bridge God with man, to bridge the eternal with what it is to be in form. I just keep hearing the words untapped resources, untapped resources, untapped resources. And it's showing or highlighting the parts of you that have actually been underneath like a heavy blanket of anger around having to be in tough spots that's actually getting in the way of being able to clearly see the resource that's within that conflict, within that piece of suffering. It's actually meant to be like a messenger, a harbinger of clarification and understanding. And I mean, it's pretty natural to be like, whoa, the chips are down, this sucks, this hurts, I don't want to do this anymore. And I wonder if we could actually drop in just the essence of what if there's actually a seed of something in here for me that's helpful to evolve my consciousness, to evolve my understanding of myself. That seed might be buried real deep, or it might be a little bit more on the surface, so that we can actually see what it's inherently expressing. I'm not entirely sure why yet, but we're linking it into the sphenoid bone where it becomes external at the temples. And we're working, here we go, working with the essence of pressure. And there's the times, you know, where we put so much pressure on ourselves that we can't actually appreciate the journey along the way. And after the diamond gets formed from all the pressure, we sometimes don't even notice that it's there anymore. It becomes an untapped resource, a gift that we don't even know is there because we're just so in the habit of putting pressure on ourselves. And that habit of pressure in this way, although helpful to form the diamond, also then gets a chance to have a reprieve, almost like after the inhale of that pressure, there's an exhale, a dropping away of it. So that again, there is an essence of clarity through this diamond that gets to be actually perceived through your eyes as you get to sense with clarity and see through new eyes the present moment with clarity in a way that doesn't have to come through what typically happens when we feel a sense of divide or you versus them. Or out there versus in here, or all the dualities that we often perceive as being real seem to create those illusory images. So through the sphenoid bone, we're actually going to defrag the consciousness of rigidity. And as you work with that, linking into the elbows and the knees, which work with that consciousness of rigidity as well. And we're linking it through to the heart space, along with the perineum. The heart for harmony, for clarity, and for being able to embrace connections without the usual divide in a way that brings in respect and dignity for everybody involved. And linking it through to the perineum for a sense of foundational grounding. And at the same time as all of that, running the permissions. My needs are welcome here. My needs are welcome here. And releasing any particular layers of fear and anger and sadness that are wrapped in and around it all until the core essence of my needs are welcome here can be grasped and turned towards in an easeful way. We're going to tap this part here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. And offering that 3, 4, 5 breaths to integrate, to land. And we're linking the jaw, consciousness of control, along with fear of being devoured or eaten or attacked, We're linking that through to the sacroiliac joints, the back of the hip joints. And it's containing the essence of the primal and the foundation. There's something else here, just locating it. Okay, it's actually containing the belief system of I'm not lovable. I'm not lovable. I have to control my environment, be ready to attack and devour anything around me out of fear to keep myself safe, for I'm actually not lovable enough to just be honored and respected, dignified all on my own. Running lymphatic drainage through the jaw joints, through the sacroiliac, and connecting the jaw joints to those sacroiliac. And then we're going to release the vertebrae around the lumbar spine to restore their, let's say, springiness, to be able to be vital, to be virile, to welcome in and respond to life. And its impulse to be expressed in ways that bring you alive even more. And in this way, it gets to be an upward spiral of the celebration of what it is to exist and be here in this human container. As you release that through the low back, lumbar one, there's five vertebrae. The first is carrying at the top of it. This fear of being attacked by dad, the spirit being devoured by dad and his energy. That might be literal or it might be metaphorical. Number two is the fear of being attacked or devoured by mom, by mother. Number three is the fear of never getting to be seen for the lovable being that you actually are because of all this protection from mom and dad that's subtly there. Number four is the overwhelm of having to manage all of that. The overwhelm of having to manage all of that. Not a small thing. Number five is doubt that there's any other way. Doubt that there's any other way to be. And all of that, excuse me, is creating this complex around what it means to be in existence. And the mom-dad part is also carrying the energy around a sense of being split or divided or torn into two pieces. And there's actually the desire to blame parents for that. Excuse me. Excuse me, I'm not sick. I'm just recovering from a little bit of a mold exposure last week at the retreat I was facilitating. So, an emotional release of sadness here, around the sense of longing to be whole or not be in two. I'm running a cellular repair here, restoring its cells, restoring its cells back to their fullest potential of health. Then we're going to the sacrum, back of pelvis, and the hips. And there's a consciousness here of getting to redo your foundation. So it's not as informed by mom and dad's energies, but turning towards the other components, which unifies them both, which is the essence of life itself. And then we're linking that through to the right atrium, where in body talk we believe the soul is stored. And here it's working with ending the divide. We're going to take Mars as a bit of a satellite here, and we're going to dial down into energy, which is very much about division. And that energy is actually ready to be like turned way down. Almost like we can install a dimmer light switch and just like gradually like bring it back down. We're going to tap here, invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that a few rounds of breath. And then we're working with a belief system. I can't believe it. That might be, I can't believe you've done that to me. Like, meaning, I can't believe the truth of who I really am, or anything in between. I can't believe it. And we're relinquishing that, releasing that through. There's a bit of an arc between the third eye all the way out to that right temple where the sphenoid becomes external. Almost like it's mirroring the curvature of an eyebrow. And as we release it through here, this is also the right brain, which is very much about intuition. It's actually not meant to believe anything. It's actually meant to not have to know anything. So we're actually writing interesting permissions here to release that all, and the words are simply, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't have to know. I don't know, and I don't have to know. I don't know, and I don't have to know. Meaning, I also don't have to figure that out. Oh, thank goodness. The knowing will be available when and as it is, and you don't actually have to effort to strive towards that. And if we apply that to any perception around conflict, any experience, or interaction of charge that's carrying a note of anger to it. What might it be to infuse it with the energy of I don't know or doubt in a good way? In a way that actually loosens up the rigidities that were there to allow for a little bit more flow to happen. It's all linking into there's a line of energy that runs through about halfway through each side of the body, and it's connected to the essence of love. Working to the one on the right side and releasing any fear around being able to receive love in a way that transcends knowledge. Any fear around receiving love that you haven't quite figured out yet. Releasing, in essence, the need to protect yourselves from love, receiving love. And I'm talking about the true essence of love, not the essence of love that seems to carry a bit of a sting or a pain to it. That's actually part of where this is coming from. But we're actually resolving what's at the root of that essence of pain in love by turning towards love that happens to be clear. Honored in a way that's authentic for you and received with open arms and an open, soft body. We're going to tap that part in here. Invitation to again breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Breathing here. Giving that another 3, 4, or 5 breaths. Imagine taking everything we've done today and linking it through to the geometrical shape of the cells that make up the pineal glands. And the pineal gland creates almost like a particular energetic flow around it. It's different than the heart, which creates a double torus. But it creates a very specific field of energy that helps us to orient what it is to actually rest with ease, with wakefulness, but not necessarily having to be awake, like literally awake, but being able to rest with the wakefulness and the understanding of, again, of the essence of who and what we really are. And that actually gets to be honored in your circadian rhythm or the pulse of you. And here running the words, I rest with ease. It's safe to let my guard down. I'm going to invite you to imagine that just for now, I'm going to watch the door. I'll watch out so you can actually rest. For ease and be able to let your guard down, because I'm going to hold that for you so you don't have to. And that's going to be a standing offer from here until at any point in time you're looking to rest and find ease, and there's a sense of I need someone to hold something for me or watch something for me. Bring me into your mind's eye. Happy to honor that with ease, with ease. It doesn't actually expend any energy on my end at this juncture to do anything like that. As you receive that, my gift to you, notice what it's like to feel the essence of protection. And consider this to be a seed to understand what it is to relearn and re-honor protection within yourself so that over time you can actually also honor this same gift and offer it to yourself. I'm going to invite you to once again breathe in 3, 4, or 5 breaths right into that pineal gland, the center roughly of the skull, in the head brain, pardon me, and breathing here, receiving here. And then, if it feels right, touching in on that resource that you found in the very beginning, bringing that into your awareness. I've got a short song, it's 2.5 minutes. It's called Breathing Tide by Samira Jade and others. And it's from the album Zero. I invite you to rest here and take that all in.
Is there a sound? Let it go, let it be. All the ripples.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for the gift of you. Deeply appreciating all that it takes to be here in these ways, and deeply appreciating all the humanness that's here. Thank you for bringing it to the table. And thank you for being you exactly as you are. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Love that you had goosebumps all the way throughout that. You're most welcome, y'all. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead, and we'll see you next week. Oh, a reminder, the survey. Feel free to answer. We only had three replies, so I've extended it to this Saturday. So I'm hoping to garner a few more replies around ideal times for upcoming sessions. Excuse me. Has some powder stuck in my throat from my other drink that I swallowed when I was off camera. Those powder drinks. All right, y'all. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. And wishing you not just blessings, but a bountiful, abundant, giftful week of you. Okay. Mwah. Bye for now, y'all.